time for another episode of Christian Polito Talk with Michael and Mary Beth.
All right, Thursday night again.
Here we be.
Sidekick over there.
Mary.
Beth.
Over there dancing in her seat.
That's right. I totally get down with the jam.
Getting down with the jam. I hear you. Well, you got something to start us off with over there tonight?
Chapow. Yes, of course. Tonight's devotional is called Their True Identity. I know that you are Abraham's descendants, but you seek to kill me because my word has no place in you. I speak what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have seen with your father. That comes from John 8, 37 and 38. Over the next few verses, Jesus used the words, your father, four times. At first, he didn't tell them who their father was. They assumed that God was their father because they were Abraham's descendants. However, when they did not accept the words that Jesus spoke, they proved themselves to be children of the devil. Millions throughout the world assume that God is their father and that they are his children. But when they finally see their own sin, suddenly God becomes distant and the thunder of his wrath against sin is heard. When the world practices their religion, they assume that they are doing the will of God. But the Apostle Paul says differently. Rather, that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to demons and not to God. And I do not want you to have fellowship with demons. That's from 1 Corinthians 10:20. If they were serving God, they would accept Jesus Christ as their Messiah. He was the litmus test of their spirituality. Tonight's soul search is, may I never be cavalier in my walk with God. May I never be overly familiar with him or take anything for granted. And the prayer is, Father, give me the wisdom I need to reason with those who don't know you.
Wow, that's really interesting when you hear some of the things that that I have prepared for tonight. Very interesting. Hey, did you know that this was kind of like a special episode almost?
So I've heard.
Yeah, this is our 40th episode.
Whoop, whoop.
That's right. And I got kind of a question type statement for you.
Okay.
I want everybody to kind of think about this. Okay. This is kind of the basis for tonight. Why should I submit to a government that I believe is moving in the wrong direction? I love my country and want to cooperate with the political system, but I'm struggling to understand what the Bible says on this subject. How in the world can the Apostle Paul tell Christians to submit to authorities, as in Romans 13:1-7, when we know for a fact that many human governments are corrupt and unjust? So what should a believer do when they feel that their own government is ungodly?
That is an interesting question. And I guess my response to that is taking other words from the Bible that tell us that we have to pray for our governments like we tell everybody every week.
Well, that's something we're going to discuss a little bit later on in the show. I kind of wanted to put that question out there, kind of people to start marinating on a little bit.
Rolling in it, marinating in it, pondering it.
Because we have definitely had probably one of the craziest weeks in a long time.
I have not liked this week.
I mean, this week has been filled with tornadoes and storms and major flooding, and we got family that's dealing with major flooding, and you know, there's all kinds of things going on.
Absolutely.
Not to mention at the top of the news here, all the terror that's going on right now in Afghanistan.
Yeah, I know. I don't like hearing the stories that are coming out of Afghanistan. You know, you and I talked about several of the things that I've read and heard and the statistics and all the stuff that's been going on. And, It's just really, really horrible. But, you know, I do have to, I have to say one thing. You know, when all of this first started and the folks that live there in Afghanistan sort of broke through the barriers and came onto the airport and they were like literally laying on planes and hanging onto planes and all this kind of stuff, I really was very disappointed with every single media outlet that ran the video of these poor people falling off the plane and crashing back down to the earth. And, you know, then like really in a lot of very descriptive detail discussed how that there were bodies that were actually pulled up into the wheel wells of the plane.
Well, the other day when President Biden was questioned about that, he said that was 4 days ago, man. It was 4 days ago. And that was his only answer to that.
Joe Biden really needs to just go on and leave office. He is really more of the problem than he is in any kind of solution.
Well, you know.
And I would say that about any president that I felt had declined mental faculties.
Yeah. They're saying now what appears to be a continuation of his campaign bunker strategy. And following his widely planned interview with ABC News on the stunning fall of Afghanistan, President Biden's schedule Thursday contained no planned public remarks or press briefings about this.
That's because he's been such a loose cannon. I mean, you know, ABC and George Stephanopoulos, who he did the interview with, even George Stephanopoulos kind of wasn't really buying what Biden was putting out there and was actually putting questions to him. And I was like, whoa.
Well, you know, his decisions to nix the media obligation, they coincide with Vice President Harris's trip to Vietnam. She's over in Vietnam amid this crisis.
Because that's where she needs to be.
And,
that
you know,
major crisis in Vietnam right now.
And her office is defending her trip, saying America has many interests worldwide.
Well, you know, the last time there was like hot things going on in Vietnam, there was a war there.
Yeah. And, you know, many have described us leaving the American embassy there in Afghanistan to the retreat from Saigon.
Yeah. Well, you know, that was a topic of conversation that I heard on a news broadcast either yesterday or today. And they were talking about, you know, the fact that Biden has more or less laid this Afghanistan travesty at Trump's feet and said that Trump is responsible. And
hold on. Now, he said the other day that he is the president and it's his call 100%.
All right. And then he turned around and blamed Trump.
Well, that's the easy thing to do.
Well, the thing is they interviewed President Trump, and President Trump said that had they gone about the withdrawal the correct way, then a lot of this probably could have been avoided. And he's probably right, because the way that they did it was Biden pulled out the troops, he left the equipment, and didn't make sure that the Americans were out before all of this happened.
So now they have control of more than 100 armored Humvees. They have the drones. They have weapons. And they have more Black Hawk helicopters than 166 other countries in this world.
Right. And what President Trump turned around and said to what Biden did was the way it should have gone was get the Americans out first, then get the equipment out, and the last thing you do is pull out the troops.
Yeah.
Because it's like literally backing out. Like taking a screw out of a piece of wood. You're backing it out. And that's the way it should have gone down. And probably if it had gone down that way, none of this would be happening now. There would not be this ridiculous, like, free-for-all going on there.
Well, you know, it's really crazy that, you know, everything that is going on and everything that is happening, I mean, it's not just this. I mean, he's running amok and, you know, like last night, he claimed that the U.S. did not have troops in Syria.
What?
Yeah, last night, during an interview with George Stephanopoulos Wednesday night, his first TV interview since the Taliban's rapid takeover in Afghanistan, he falsely claimed that the U.S. does not have troops in Syria.
Okay.
So, you know, this along with many, many other things, and then every time something runs amok, it seems like here lately, like this starts happening with Afghanistan and all these things, and the news is blowing that up. Then all of a sudden, what do you hear? Oh, COVID makes the news again. And now they're talking about, you know, people getting booster shots and all of this. And so the COVID is just another blanket to cover something else up.
It's a distraction. It's like holding up a shiny object over here like, look at this. This is what you want to look at because it's really, this is so important and this is so cool. Look over here. Meanwhile, everything else is going on over here. And I mean, you know, I think one of the things that all of us need to be keeping on our radar is what is going on in this country that looks sketchy. Because, you know, we were just talking about this earlier, about the guy at the Library of Congress today. And, you know, there's all these shootings going on. There's a 14-year-old boy who was arrested for a school shooting. And even here in our own neck of the woods, they are finding random people just being shot and killed in streets. And that is not the way things should go. And I'm very concerned with the fact that, you know, this COVID thing is being used to distract everybody from thinking about the border, which is like an open door. People are flooding in. It's not just, I mean, people, we got to understand, this is not just people from Mexico. These are people from like Latin America, like six countries away that have made their way up to the border. There are people from, you know, other countries flying in to Mexico to come through the border. And we need to realistically look at this because they've already caught several people that could be quote-unquote domestic terrorists coming through the border. But think about all the people that slip through because there's not enough border patrol.
Yep. And, you know, just as easy as they're doing that, you know, while everybody's distracted, who's to say that people in sales aren't coming over? I mean,
exactly.
You never know. And, you know, when we've got over, the number keeps changing, but the last I heard was 15,000 people, Americans that are, you know, still in Afghanistan.
Yeah. And they are making their way to the airport, but there aren't flights to take all of these people out, number one. Number two, as Americans, they are the ones that the Taliban are looking for.
Well, basically, they have a thing, okay, we're going to send you a message to go ahead and go to the airport, but it's up to you to get to the airport, and then we'll get you out of here. I mean, they're basically being held hostage in a country, and I've heard that said many times today.
Oh, yes. And, I mean, they can't get to another country, because that would almost be more dangerous than trying to get to the airport, especially because they can't show their passports, because if they show their passports, then anyone who sees it knows that they're an American, and they're automatic targets.
Oh, yeah. Automatically. And it's really scary because, I mean, all the things that are going on, you know, with the Taliban in control, Al-Qaeda is now plotting a comeback.
Oh, I'm sure.
You know, and Afghani Christians face terrifying future under the Taliban. And it says, as Christians, we know there's persecution under the Taliban.
Absolutely. And the women and girl children, you know, I mean, they're marrying these little girl children into slavery, basically. And it doesn't matter how old they are, and it doesn't matter what conditions they live in or how these men that they're forced to marry are treating them. And, you know, as I told you today, there was some conversation about that online, and it was like, you know, we need to come up with a solution. Well, I really don't feel that there's a solution that we as Americans can come up with that's going to have any impact other than bad impact on those women that live over there, because they just do not hold the same value there that women do here. And, you know, my thing is if it's being reported that this is happening, why is the UN not intervening?
Well, you know, Hungary came forward today in a something to hit the Christian news.
Yes.
Saying that they defend biblical principles and help the persecuted. And they're saying Hungary is a Christian nation, and they are basically taking, you know, they're preserving Christian values as a government priority, and helping the persecuted Christians is a moral obligation. So they're basically, they're trying to help some of these people, you know, there on that side of the world. You know, maybe some of the Afghani refugees can end up there, you know, to seek, you know, because they're being persecuted against.
Well, see, that's very interesting that you would bring that up, because I heard a story that was kind of I did. It was on the news. And what the story was came out of Austria, and it was basically, and I hope that they have really investigated this for having said what they said, which was basically that two Afghani male refugees made it to Austria, and they brutally raped and killed an Austrian female citizen and left her, like, with the garbage. And, you know, the Austrian government is speaking out against refugees coming there, if that's how they're going to take their hospitality, I guess, more or less.
You know, it's very scary. These are scary times we live in, and, you know, seeking prayer and seeking refuge in the Word is what's going to help a lot of people, you know, get through all of these things. And, you know, right here, we're so near the anniversary of 9/11.
Yes.
And you know how much that bothers me.
Yes.
And I mean, it's almost like, you know, we couldn't remain there forever, but, you know, there should have been some kind of, you know, small force left there and switch them out. I mean,
absolutely.
You know,
absolutely. I mean, just to remain a presence.
To remain there, to keep an embassy. I mean, we've gave up so much strategically that we'll probably never be able to get back in there and gain that ground.
No, and that was another thing, is some talking head reporter this morning was talking about the embassy, as a matter of fact, saying that they needed to put people back into our embassy there to try to get Americans out. And I'm like, wait a minute.
You'll never get them in there. They've already taken it over.
No, and I mean, I'm like, did you miss like that whole news scenario where they told you about that? There's no way they're getting back into the embassy. And I honestly don't know unless they send troops, I mean, troops and troops back in to back the Taliban off to get the Americans out. I mean, it's like literally going to be like some kind of SEAL Team 6 endeavor.
Well, it is. And, you know, this, all of this has further reaching effects than just what we're seeing here.
Sure does.
Now, Israeli experts are saying that the U.S. pullout from Afghanistan is sending the wrong message to the Middle East and beyond.
Absolutely.
You know, they're saying that after nearly 20 years, the U.S. is pulling troops out of Afghanistan, leaving a power vacuum that is quickly filling up with radical Taliban group.
Mm-hmm.
And some Israeli experts are concerned that the U.S. pullout is sending the wrong message to the Middle East and others like China, Russia, Iran, and Turkey. And it says the fact that the United States is leaving will empower groups like the Taliban and other extremists. You know, pioneers, killer machines, artificial intelligence, and a battle for the future. You know, there's so many things that are going on. It said, you know, it will empower a lot of America's, let's say, adversaries or enemies or countries that want to take advantage of the decline of America in the region.
Well, that makes perfect sense. And wrap your head around this, too. You know, with all of that going on, tell me that this doesn't just really speak to the weakened government under the Biden administration, because that is exactly what these folks have been waiting for. These countries, this is exactly what they've been waiting for, is a moment of weakness for us to have a weak president, a weak government, and they're going at it full force. Because another thing that President Trump was saying in his interview, in a couple of the interviews that he's had this week, mm-hmm. was that when he came into the presidency, you know, the Taliban had basically, I guess, like reformed itself, and the leader of the Taliban, he had a meeting with, and he basically said to this guy, look, if you touch one hair on an American's head, that's it. He was like, you can expect swift retaliation. And he said he looked this guy in the eyes and he's like, do you understand what I'm saying? And the guy was like, yeah, I understand what you're saying. And now here we are. And yeah, it's terrible.
Well, it's like the whole UN and all of that, you know, they're looking at us now, because what's the first thing that, you know, Joe Biden does when he becomes president? He says, America's back. Yeah, we're back in the good graces of everybody else in the world. And now they're all looking at him like, what have you done? And now Blinken is trying to, you know, talk with them and come to some sort of, you know, consensus on what happened and these things. But, you know, you really don't hear a whole lot about that, because they're trying to keep that hush hush.
Well, but you know, honestly, with the weakened state of things as it is, and this debacle that has gone on in Afghanistan, where all of this mess is going on now, there is no way that we have anything to parlay with these people, because really for them, it's all about power, and it's about domination, and it's about, you know, getting back to the business of taking over the world and making it one big Islamic state. And I really honestly don't know what our government could possibly threaten with or parlay with.
Well, right now, we need to get everybody out of there that we promised we were going to get out of there. We need to get all of our Americans out of there. We need to secure our borders. That's a major thing. But, you know, the only thing that we can do as Christians is band together and pray about everything. And we need to get on, basically, we need to get on our godly armor. I mean, there are rough days ahead coming because of all this.
We need to get the Trump signal out, like the bat signal. And we need to, well, you know, I've already heard that they've been drawing up articles on the 25th Amendment for Biden. I've heard that it's coming out of the Senate and out of the Congress. You know, I think that there's a lot of buyer's remorse going on right now, and people are trying to do something, quote unquote, right quick, and try to change things up before they get any worse. But I can't really see Kamala Harris making a difference, because she's never where she's supposed to be. And if she's passed over, then that puts us with Nancy Pelosi. And then I guess it would be that guy from Vermont that we talked about, who's the Senate, the president pro tem. And I mean, it's just not looking good, America.
No, you know, the more that we go through this, and the more that we look at things, I mean, definitely we've got to continue to, you know, when something major like this is going on and they're dangling that shiny object going, oh, this is, you know, you need to watch this. That's when you need to start watching all around you.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are things going on, and there are things, you know, you never know anymore.
Yeah, a coworker brought to my attention today that the results of the Maricopa County audits are going to be coming out in a couple weeks. And so are the ones that I think she said the ones in Michigan too. So be looking at the bright shiny object over here, so you certainly don't hear about what's going on over here.
Well, there was another interesting little speck of light that come through concerning the border.
Well, do give me the silver lining.
Well, a federal judge has blocked the Biden admin's ICE rules that narrowed illegal immigrant arrest priorities. So the rules limit ICE to targeting recent border crossers, security threats, and aggravated felons. Well, a federal judge today imposed a preliminary injunction on the Biden administration's rules for immigration and customs enforcement officers that significantly narrowed the categories of legal immigrants being targeted for arrest and deportation. A ruling that marks, you know, the latest legal blow to the Biden administration's immigration policy. So basically, Judge Drew Tipton ruled that the policy was in violation of congressional mandates, and that Louisiana and Texas, which filed a lawsuit, were likely to succeed in their claim that the policy violated the Administrative Procedures Act. And the Biden administration issued guidance in February limiting agents to focusing on three categories of immigrants: those who pose a threat to national security, those who have crossed the border since November 1st, and those who committed aggravated felonies. It followed on from January 20th guidance issued by the Department of Homeland Security. So that really limited to what these guys can do. But with that being blocked, now they can get in there and do, you know, more of their job. I'm all for people coming here the right and legal way.
Absolutely.
But right now, with things on the rise, you know, COVID was on a downward trend, but now they're shipping these people all over the country. There's no stopping it. And there's nothing there. They want us to be mandated, and they want to hold you under their thumb and go, you're going to wear a mask, and you're going to get this shot, and you're going to do this. Okay? So when it comes time to the country telling you what you can eat and how much you can eat, the country telling you what job you're going to work and how much you're going to work, the country being able to turn off your power anytime they see fit and turn it on when they want to, the country being able to tell you whether or not you can have certain medical procedures or certain medications based on how much you offer to society.
Yeah, how many kids you can have.
Those are all things that people in this country are, you know, undoubtedly trying to push for, and I really don't get it.
I don't get it either, but here's my best advice, is if you're one of those people, or you know one of those people who thinks this is a fantastic way to run this country, as a socialistic Marxist country.
Go visit Cuba.
Yes, please take a vacay to Cuba and just stay there for like 6 months and see how you really like living there. Or, you know what, take a little detour and go live in Russia and see how you like that. Because if you really enjoy that and you enjoy the constriction of your personal freedoms and, you know, you think you're being watched by Big Brother now, holy Moses, you, I'm telling you, you do not know what you're asking for, and you're selling yourself very cheap if that's how you want your life to be led. I'm all for you just leaving. You know, leave this country to those people who want to live here. And those people who want this to be a free country. If you don't want to live in a free country, you are free to go and defect and be a citizen of another country that has those rules and regulations and party down.
So there was some big news that just broke a little bit ago. And this has some importance on the Afghanistan collapse.
Mm-hmm.
So internal State Department cable warned Blinken of pending Afghanistan collapse in July.
And this is supposed to shock me. Why? They always get the intel. They ignore the intel because it's not the intel they want to hear. And they think, it'll never really happen. They don't have the chutzpah to do it. And then, whoopsie-doo, there it is.
Well, see, the reason why I bring this up is because the whole thing is Biden's going on, well, there was no intel that it was going to fall.
That's what I said.
This quickly. There was none of this. There was none of that. And
And
now a confidential internal State Department cable was sent to Secretary of State Antony Blinken last month, warning about the potential collapse of Afghanistan following the full withdrawal of U.S. forces on August 31st. Roughly two dozen officials stationed in the U.S. embassy in Kabul sent a memo through the department's confidential dissent channel to alert Blinken, along with other top State Department officials, that the Taliban was well positioned to take over the nation. What do you think of that?
It's like I just said, you know.
It was dated July 13th.
If why bother having an intelligence community and people that work in intelligence if you're not going to regard what they can report to you as informed information that's supposed to warn you that there is an impending horrible situation about to unfold, and you just want to sit on your hands and not do anything? This is why I could never be president. I mean, you know, I got a lot of good qualities that would be fine as president, but I could never be president because literally I would be talking to other nations that were trying to pull this funky business, and I would treat them like I treat the kids. I'd be like, you know what? What did I just tell you? What did I tell you? Well, you know, you didn't listen, and now here comes the punishment. You better look overhead, because here comes a bomb.
The Biden administration basically disputes the notion this confidential cable warned of early fall of Afghanistan. You know, oh my goodness.
Does it not just make you want to bang your head in the wall?
It does.
Because I don't understand the intelligence level of people.
Well, here's the thing. If, like I said, it was inevitable that we were going to have to pull out, because we were. But we should have got all the people out before the military was pulled.
Absolutely.
Before the base was given up. Before the embassy was given up. Before all these things were given up. We should have the people out.
Well, you know, and to that point, you know, when you do something like this, when you plan a withdrawal from a country that you have literally been in charge of for 20 years, or protecting, however you want to look at that, for 20 years, you're supposed to leave that country in better shape than you found it. I mean, that's the whole point in going in there and trying to help them rebuild and train their soldiers and help them move towards a more democratic society and government and all that. You're supposed to leave the country in a better way than you found it. And I feel like the last 20 years have just been completely discounted, and it's like it's been edited where those 20 years have been cut out, and it's just been reformed. Like it's just like it never happened. And I don't understand how that can be looked at as any kind of success now. And I feel really bad for any service person that had to serve over there and either, you know, was successful in what they did and were able to come home, or, you know, be the family of those that perished, or be the family of one of someone who was horribly injured, because it really discounts what they gave.
Yep. And, you know, a few minutes ago, I mentioned that one of the only things that we can do as Christians is start banding together and start praying for them, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I mentioned, you know, it's time to put on God's armor.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people don't know that, you know, basically in Ephesians 6:13-17, it talks about putting on God's armor. Do you know what that is?
No.
So if you think of a physical armor as a belt, and the spiritual equal to God being the truth, says he will wear a belt of what is right and good and faithful, from Isaiah 11:5. And if you think about body armor, that's God's righteousness. And he will put on righteousness as his body armor, Isaiah 59:17. His shoes are the peace, you know, peace from the good news. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news, the good news of peace, Isaiah 52:7. So the shield is the faith. My God is my rock in whom I find protection. He is my shield, the power that saves me, 2 Samuel 22:3. When you think about the helmet, that's our salvation. He placed the helmet of salvation on his head, Isaiah 59:17. And the sword is the word of God. The Lord made my words of judgment as sharp as a sword, Isaiah 49:1-2. So when you talk about going up in prayer and putting on God's armor, that's what it's all about right there.
Mm-hmm.
And with all of this that's going on, it's kind of time to pull a Jen Psaki and circle back a little bit.
Oh, Lord.
So, again, I ask you the question, what should a believer do when they feel that their own government is ungodly? And a lot of the questions of that can be found in the book of Romans as well as other books. So the Bible, in fact, commands Christians to submit to the governing authorities in Romans 13:1 and to pray for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. 1 Timothy 2:2. You okay over there?
Oh, yeah.
You banging stuff around?
I'm sorry.
So, these words are even more striking when we realize that Paul penned them during the reign of the Roman emperors Nero and Caligula, two of the worst tyrants known in history. And I know you studied those in school.
Mm-hmm.
So, the point is clear. As long as we can do without denying Christ or compromising our faith, we must always strive to cooperate with the ruling powers. That doesn't necessarily mean that we will endorse all the policies or approve of every specific action they take. And this is especially true in a democratic society, where it is the duty of responsible citizens to examine public servants with a discerning and critical eye. Nevertheless, Christians are responsible to uphold biblical righteousness in a hostile culture. We're also expressing respect for its leadership. So the Westminster Confession of Faith provides us with some valuable insight into this problem. In Chapter 3, Section 1 of God's Eternal Decree, the framers of this document write the following: God from all eternity did by the most wise and holy counsel of his own will freely and unchangeably ordain whatsoever comes to pass. Yet so is therefore neither is God the author of sin, nor is violence offered to the wall of the creatures, nor is the liberty or contingency of second causes taken away, but rather established. So what does this mean for us? It's simply this: God is sovereign over human events at the same time. He gives the people the freedom to make their own choice and to go their own way. So in other words, no one can become a king, an emperor, a governor, a president, assemblyman, or senator apart from God's will. But this doesn't mean that possession of political power amounts to a stamp of approval from God. And that's where the will of the creatures and the liberty and contingency of a whole host of secondary causes come into play. After all, the Bible calls King Nebuchadnezzar God's servant in Jeremiah 25:9. This obviously does not imply that Nebuchadnezzar was a godly man. The long and short of it, then, is God is always in charge. We may not trust the governing authorities, but we have to trust in Him. Under normal circumstances, we can demonstrate that trust by cooperating with the state, paying our taxes, participating in the system, and staying out of trouble. But this doesn't mean that we should be blind. We can never forget the power of human rulers is subject to a higher power. It's contingent upon the absolute sovereignty of God. And should a situation arise in which these two authorities come into clear conflict with one another, Christians have to obey God rather than man, from Acts 5:29. But we can hope that situations of this nature will be far and few between. But I don't know about that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what did you gather from that?
Just so many things. You know, I don't really get so much of what is, it's so hard for me to focus on every ill that there is right now. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just, it's kind of like everything else that I've been talking about tonight, you know. It's just so wrapped up in so many levels of things.
Right.
And it's very hard to really focus on what is the best thing, what is the right thing, you know?
Well, you know, Paul did a lot of writing in the book of Romans, which you know, which mm-hmm. we've been over extensively. And it's, the thought is that, you know, you have to pay Caesar what is Caesar's, because, you know, that's what was mentioned in the Bible.
Right.
Give to Caesar's what is Caesar's. But if Caesar starts to take too much, then Caesar's in the wrong. Caesar's being greedy.
Right.
And the same thing goes with, just like I said here, if the two are not aligning, if what is going on in the world and what we're commanded by God does not come in alignment, we have to remember that we serve God.
Right. And I think that what is the hard thing about it all is that we strive to be close to God and be the people that God intended us to be. But we are, in fact, human. And I think sometimes our emotions, our, you know, our thoughts betray those things.
Right.
And so, you know, doing the right, or meaning to do the right thing and doing the right thing, you know, sometimes they really aren't the same thing. And I think that's where a lot of the trouble lies, if that makes sense.
Right.
And I think that is really at the root of a lot of the problems that we have in the world right now, is because so many times people don't have God in their hearts. They don't have God in their thoughts, you know, and they are making decisions based on wants rather than needs, and power versus survival.
Right. And basically where that come from about we ought to obey God rather than men, that was Peter and the other apostles in the book of Acts.
Right. And Peter has made some very interesting statements along the way, you know, due to you know, his own transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the person that he was is not the person that he transformed to, but I don't think that he can forget who he was, because then he wouldn't be being true to himself.
Right. What this all leads to is the same thing we discuss every week. How important it is for you to have your personal relationship with God.
Yes.
And how important it is that you make this decision of your own free will and volition.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've talked many times about what it is to confess, what it means to be saved, how important it is. You know, that's that second birth. And the whole purpose of this show, like we discuss every week, is to help get news out there and to help people understand it from a biblical standpoint about all these things that we're going through. And you have to understand that God is always in charge.
Absolutely.
Always. And you taking the steps, if you've never taken the steps to ask, you know, God to come into your life and to come into your heart, and so that you know and you begin to build a better relationship with Him, and you are saved and you are a child of God, that is very important. And there are certain things, you know, that you need to do. You know, the biggest one is, you know, admitting you're a sinner and being willing to turn from sin. And that is what the word repent means. And that's from Acts 17:30. And you must believe that Jesus Christ died for you. He was buried and rose again from the dead to pay the price for your sins. And that's in the book of Romans. Romans 10:9-10. And you must pray to invite Jesus into your heart as your Lord and Savior, as in Romans 10:13. You know, there are a lot of misconceptions and a lot of things out there in the world that you have to do this in a church. You have to do this with a preacher. You have to have somebody lead you to it. It's all about you and your personal decision and your decision to accept Christ and you asking for Christ. You don't have to go through anybody to do it.
No, and it needs to be your personal thing, because it needs to come from your heart.
It's got to be own free will and volition.
Mm-hmm.
And if you've never prayed this prayer, you can do it right now. If you're listening tonight live or you're listening to the podcast later on, you know, say this prayer out loud. Father, I'm a sinner in need of your forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all of my sins in Jesus' name. I repent and turn from sinning and doing wrong. Right now, I believe that Jesus died and rose again for my sin, and I accept his payment. Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart right now and be my Lord and Savior. Fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer and coming into my heart and saving me according to your word. I love you, Lord, and I ask you to seal me in the blood of Jesus and help me to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
If you said that prayer for the first time, you're now born again. You're born anew. Get a Bible. Start reading. You will find that you actually have a hunger for it. Don't start at the end. Don't jump to Revelation. Start at the beginning. You've got to understand the Old Testament before you can really get into the New Testament. You got to read it from the beginning to the end. And it's amazing how many things you will find that apply to your life even today.
Get yourself a devotional.
Yes. Get a devotional. I've bought Mary Beth several. She loves them.
I do. Because they're always, it doesn't matter which devotional you read.
It's always relevant.
It is. It is. And it takes the scripture, especially this one that I have, the one that I read to the listeners every week, you know, it gives you the verse, and then it gives you a couple of paragraphs and explains that verse so that you can better understand how it relates to you today.
Yep.
And then it gives you the soul search, which I think is really nice because it gives you something to ponder on, and it gives you a prayer.
That's right.
And it's all in one little page.
And if you've got a prayer request or you want us to pray for you over some specific, which we always pray for everybody and we hope people pray for us as well, You know, everybody's got something going on right now, and everybody needs prayer. How can they reach us?
You can reach us right here at Christian Polititalk. That's PolititaLK at gmail.com.
That's right. ChristianPolititalk@gmail.com. That is definitely how you reach us. If you got like something that you want to hear on the show, maybe, or, you know, a topic, or even if you just want somebody to talk to, pray with you, reach out to us. We'll be happy to talk with you.
Absolutely.
What else you got over there tonight?
I promised a shout out.
Oh, another shout out.
Yep. To our good friend and one of our listeners, to Skylar.
Yeah, that's my buddy.
Yeah, I know.
You know, there's a rumor going around.
And that would be?
That Skylar may be a guest next week on the show.
Hey, hey.
We might get Skylar up here in the studio next week.
All right.
You get me and him going, this might go for a little while.
Well, you know what? I will gladly allow him to sit in for me. You'll have to come up with a cool little Skylar. Instead of twinkle, 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 Meredith.
Yeah, I don't think the twinkle, twinkle fits him.
No, but it'd have to be like, Skylar.
There you go. Well, as always, we appreciate everybody joining us every week. We appreciate everybody listening on the podcast. I mean, we are slowly learning. We've got listeners in all kinds of countries and all kinds of places.
And we're glad that you choose to listen to us, because it's always a choice. And, we sincerely hope that, what we're putting out there, it affects you the way it affects us.
That's definitely true. But we appreciate you joining us tonight, and we look forward to you joining us next Thursday night right here. Christian Polititalk, everybody has a good and safe weekend.
Absolutely. Y'all take care now.
All right. Everybody have a good evening.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed, living he loved me, dying he saved me, buried he carried my sins far away, rising he justified freely forever, one day he's coming, oh glorious day. And rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is he. The hands that heal nations stretched out on earth.